If you would, to the book of Psalms, we're going to take a look at Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Now, if I asked a question, how many people want to be losers? Raise your hand. Nobody. How many would like to be successful and be prosperous? Raise your hand. Well, you know what? We're going to find out how we can be successful and prosperous as we read Psalm 1. Now, I think everybody would rather be successful and prosperous rather than be a loser. Now, there's a way that this can be done. Connie's laughing, but it's true. You know, we all know some losers, don't we? And you know why they're losers? Because they don't follow the instructions that we're going to find here in Psalm 1. Now, God has given us a recipe for prosperity. Notice the last words in verse 3. Notice what it says. It says, and whatsoever he doeth shall what? Prosper. Now, it doesn't say whatsoever he doeth may prosper, or could prosper, or even should prosper. It says what? Shall prosper. Now, if there's any chapter in all the Bible where we ought to focus our attention on, if we want to be prosperous and successful, I think Psalm 1 would be a good chapter to take a look at, study, and put into practice. Now, if these things are followed in Psalm 1, you know, they need to come to pass if God is going to be truthful. God is not going to lie to us. God is going to be faithful to keep his word. So if we want to be prosperous and successful, the recipe is right here. We ought to be able to count upon what God said. Now, we can prosper in our job. We can prosper in our work for the Lord. And we can prosper as Christian people. And our homes can prosper. Our families can prosper. The church can prosper as well. Let us look at these five steps of success that will result if we put them into practice. Notice the first one. A prosperous person must not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Notice what it says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So, if we are going to be prosperous, we cannot afford to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, that word blessed, what do you think that means? Happy. You know what? We talk about the Beatitudes every now and then, and they're found in Matthew chapter 5, and they all start out with what? Blessed, amen. It means happy. It means to prosper. It means peace. It means all kinds of good things happening. And here we see, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, how many here have ever had any ungodly counsel given to them? Every one of us have. How many have ever followed that ungodly counsel? We probably all have at some point, right? And how well did that work out for us? It did not work out for us at all. You ever hear the ungodly counsel that the ungodly like to give you when they say, well, just follow your what? Heart. Now, what does the Bible say about our hearts? It is wicked and desperately evil. Or, you know, it's deceitful. So is that really good counsel? No. You know what happens? You usually follow your heart and then turn around and bite you in the backside. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches, but the Bible does say what it will do is if you follow your heart, it will condemn you later on for following your heart. And so that is ungodly advice. And we all got ungodly advice. Maybe it happens to be finances. You know, how many of us have ever been approached with a get-rich-quick scheme? Oh, man, and they almost get you, don't they? And if you follow it, you find out pretty soon your wallet is a whole lot lighter. There's all kinds of ungodly counsel that we get exposed to. And by the way, sometimes that ungodly counsel comes from God's people. you surprised the things that people try to counsel me with? I mean, sometimes it's other preachers, and I just look at them and I'm thinking, are you nuts? What is wrong with you? You know, we try to scam and scheme instead of just living by faith. And folks, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to get godly counsel, scriptural counsel, biblical counsel. I don't care what you think. You shouldn't care what I think. And when a person you ask counsel for starts out with, well, I think, that's time to run. That's no time to listen. Because what you need to hear is, well, what the Bible says. Because that's where good godly counsel is coming from. Now, we are not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Solomon tells us in Proverbs 11:14, in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Now, if I'm going to, let's say I need counsel as a pastor. Now, do you think I'm going to go to somebody who's never pastored? Do you think that would be wise on my part? What do you think the church ought to do? You know, maybe they just came in and they're not even saved. And I ask them, what do you think? How do you think the church should be ordered after it? And ask a group of people who don't know enough Bible to, you know, if their spirituality was dynamite, they wouldn't have enough to blow their nose. Now, that would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? But you know what? If I find somebody that's been in the ministry for 40 years, stayed true to the Lord and preached the word, now, I would not be a bad idea to go to that person for counsel. Correct? And then they can give me counsel because most likely after 40 years, 50 years, they might experience something similar to what I'm going through. Although I don't know. I mean, we've had some really wild things go on here. But anyways, you know, let's say I'm a new parent. All right. Now, if I see a family in the church that reared godly kids, I might want to go to them. I might want to ask them, say, you know what? What did you do to rear such godly children that are now serving the Lord and living for Him? Now, I think that would be pretty good person to go to, and they're going to give you what? Godly advice. They'll tell you, you know what? We ordered our family after the word of God. We set a godly example before them. We taught them this and blah, 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 and you can learn from them. What about if you need marital counsel? Now, are you going to go to somebody who's always fussing and fighting with their spouse? Are you going to go to somebody who's not fulfilling their God-given role within the home? I hope not. I hope you find somebody where they're a godly couple that are living according to what God has said and fulfilling their roles within the marriage and go to them and say, hey, you know what? I need some help. You know, there's some good godly people that you can get counsel from. But you know what? You read in the Bible, there are some folks that went and listened to ungodly counsel. Remember this guy by the name of Amnon, one of David's sons? Now, he had a friend. His friend gave him some ungodly counsel. You know, Amnon had an unnatural desire for his half-sister. And Jonadab happened to be his friend and said, well, you know what you need to do? And he eventually ended up raping his half-sister and eventually cost him his life. Now, how many think that was good counsel? Not at all. He was saying, you know what, just follow your heart. Follow your lust. Do what you want to do. You're the king's son. Who cares? You're not under the law. And how about Rehoboam? Remember the son of Solomon? Solomon passes off the scene. He's supposed to be king. And you know what? He needs some counsel, don't he? And so he gathers all Israel and they say, you know what? Lighten the load. Your father had put on us a heavy yoke. And Solomon at the end of his life wasn't the godly man he was at the beginning of his reign. And so he taxed the people. They were under a heavy yoke. They said, lighten it. And if you lighten it, we'll serve you. And so Solomon, or Rehoboam, I'd like to call him Rehoboam. But anyways, he goes to the older men that would sat under Solomon and got tried to add, they had some wisdom about them. And so he asked him, he said, what do you think I should do? They said, you know what? Those are the people. You know what? If you listen to them and you would lighten their load a bit, they will serve you. They're not going to cause you a bunch of problems. And he's like, oh, okay, you know, that sounds good. And then he says, you know what? I'm going to ask advice from my Yahoo friends. You know, they ain't got much on the coconut, but I'm going to ask them what they think. And so he asked them, and they said, no, you know, don't put up with these people. You're the big boss with the hot sauce. If you want to put the screws to them, put the screws to them. Lay a heavier burden about on them. And so Solomon gets up and says, you know what? My pinky finger is going to be bigger than my father's thigh, and I'm going to really make it hard on you. And the people said, yay! No, they didn't. They revolted, didn't they? And now you got a split in Israel, right? You got 10 tribes against 2 tribes. But all was due to what? Rehoboam taking bad advice. Now, how many think Herodias' daughter got good advice when it came to what she wanted for after dancing before Herod on his birthday? Now, I don't know about you, but if I had a mama that said, you know what? I want you to take that preacher's head off. I'd be like, really? I could have anything I wanted and this is what you're advising me? To have a guy's head in a silver charger? What are you, nuts? He said I could have up to half the kingdom and this is what I'm going to... No! But she took that advice. And she killed the greatest man born among, had the greatest man born among women killed. Bad advice, don't you think? Now, I'm not saying that this doesn't mean that we aren't supposed to reach out and win lost sinners to Christ. But we're not supposed to take ungodly advice from them. You know, that's why sometimes it's, you know, you listen to the wrong things. And how many people here, we listen to the news and it gets a little discouraging, gets a little depressing. Well, the fact of the matter is oftentimes we're getting bad advice, aren't we? But you know what? We can't afford to listen to bad advice if we are going to be successful. You know, young people need to listen to their parents. If their parents love the Lord and are walking with the Lord, they can get some great advice. Yeah, but even some parents, some Christian parents, they don't give their kids godly advice. And I'm like thinking, what is wrong with them? But you know, a lot of us, we get godly advice, and this is what we have. Well, I don't want to hear that. I'm not going to follow that. Now, does that make sense? And if you're not going to follow godly advice, stop asking for it. Stop wasting somebody's time. But you know what? Your pastor ought to have something on the coconut. He ought to have some wisdom. And if you need some help, you ought to go to him. You know, and then you should have some good, godly, true Christian friends that you can call. And you can ask advice from. Every one of us can get good, solid advice, but we are not to walk in the counsel, what? Of the ungodly. You know, most of the time, you know where I get my wisdom from? You say, Brother Stookie, right? No. I get it from the Bible. Notice what it says in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Notice what it says in verses 97 through 100. It says, oh, how love I thy law. Now, isn't that good? I don't want to have to read my Bible. Oh, what a drag. I got better things to do. That's not how David looked at the Bible, at the Scripture. He said, man, I love it. And because I love it, it's my what? I meditate on it all the day. And it goes on to say, thou through thy commandments have made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I what? Keep thy precepts. Now, when you go to the Bible and you say, well, I don't care what it says, does that show you got wisdom? Does that show that you are somebody ought to go to get some good counsel from? Not at all. But if you love the Word, you meditate on it, you put it into practice, you're a person who should be one that you can get counsel from. But the Bible itself is the greatest counselor that we have. So, we're not supposed to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Secondly, if we are to be successful, we must not stand in the way of sinners. Notice what it says again in verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of what? Sinners. Now notice the progression in this verse. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, right? Then it says, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, when a person leaves the will of God, they walk, then stand, and then they what? Sit. When one quits walking with God, they will stand with sinners. And when one stands around sinners, eventually, when they get tired of standing, they sit with them. The secret is to keep on walking with the Lord, keep on moving forward for God, and keep on serving Him. Now, one of the grave dangers of the Christian that they face is running with the wrong crowd. Notice what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 17. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with what? Unbelievers. And that isn't that what it says? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Now, what's the answer to that question? It's obvious. There's none. And what communion hath light with darkness? None. And what concord hath Christ with Belial or the devil? None. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? None. The same answer comes to all these questions. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? None. For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore what? Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will what? Receive you. Now, one of the grave dangers a Christian faces is running with the wrong crowd. You know, I've said this before, if you lay down with dogs, you're about to get fleas. They are going to impact you. And so that's why I think it's important about the books we read. The music we listen to. The radio stations that we listen to. You know, all that stuff, garbage in, what? Garbage out. It's going to impact you. You say, well, I can handle it. Yeah, and you just show your lack of wisdom. You know, oftentimes I get books. Somebody gives me a book or sometimes they come in the mail, and I read about 2-3 chapters, and I'm thinking, this is garbage. I don't read the rest of it. It's wrong. You say, well, isn't it entertaining? Not really. But why do I want to expose myself to that? You know, long time ago, I was talking to Brother Stuckey when I first got saved, and I got this book on cults. And I was going to study the cults so I could reach him better. And I was talking to him about it, and he says, put that stupid book away. He said, why in the world would you study the cults when you got the truth? Devote your time to the truth, and you will be able to help those that are in the cults. Now, was he giving me godly counsel? Yes. So it was up to me to heed it. Was it not? I could have said, I don't care what you say. No, that would have been stupid on my part. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to listen to him. He knows what he's talking about. And I believe he's true. I still believe it. Garbage in, garbage out. You know, so many get yoked up with the wrong people. People who are lost, people who are undone, people who are sinful. And then they wonder why they struggle so much in the Christian life. And then they wonder why they're susceptible to those sins and start practicing them. You know, we read a story about Lot, right? Now, when he was with Abraham, he was doing pretty good, wasn't he? Now, can you imagine Lot sticking with Abraham? Do you think he would ever got involved in going down into Sodom and vexing his righteous soul from day to day? Do you think he would allow his daughters to marry those Sodomites? You know, none of that stuff would have happened. But he left the godly and started living with the ungodly, and his life was ruined. Now, I know it's not going to happen to us. Because we can do it and get away with it. We're the exception, aren't we? I don't think so. So, first of all, we're not supposed to take the counsel of the ungodly, are we? Then number two, we're not supposed to stand in the way of sinners. Then number three, a prosperous man cannot sit in the seat of the scornful. Notice what it says at the bottom of verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In other words, a successful and prosperous one cannot be a critical person. Yeah. Have you ever known a critical person? Boy, they're pleasant to be around, aren't they? They're horrible. You know, and then they wonder why they have no friends. But they're critical. They're judgmental. They're always condemning. You know, it's far easier to tear something down than it is to build something up. And you know what? They sit back and they judge what has been done, and it never meets their standards. And yet they don't do a thing themselves. Now that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? No, it's a horrible thing. You know, I would venture to say all of us have a little bit of problem with that little bit of member that's behind our teeth. I know nobody here would be critical, would they? Nobody here would be guilty of slander. Nobody here would be guilty of being a critic or tearing something down or sharing some juicy bit of gossip, would they? That's right. Every one of us are guilty of that. And maybe it would be a good idea for the our new year coming up, that that's one of the things we do is lay that tongue on the altar and ask God to help us with our speech. Now, for some of you, you're going to probably have to stay outside the door and roll that baby all the way up here because you got long tongue. You like to keep it wagging. And yet the Bible says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not what? Sin. That's not a small sin, by the way. Then number four, prosperous man must delight in the word of God. Notice what it says in verse 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his what? His delight is in watching the Broncos win. No. It would have been there, but Broncos weren't in existence yet. No. And their favorite sport team. No. What does it say? But his delight is in the what? Law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate what? Day and night. Now, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, you know, early on in the Bible, when you read the word law, it was really speaking particularly of the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Bible. That would be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. However, it came into being that it became known just as the whole of Scripture. And I believe that's what the Bible is talking about here. We ought to delight in the Bible, all 66 books of this divine library. Every bit of it. And we are supposed to what? Meditate therein. You know, we shouldn't approach the Bible with, oh, I got to read it. If I don't read it, that preacher's going to mention it come Sunday morning. I know he will. And then I'm going to feel bad because I didn't read it. So out of duty, I'm going to read it. Now, I don't think that's going to help you in your prosperity. We are to delight in it. You know, when I first got saved, you know, I would read an hour a day of Scripture. Every day. I would read this Bible through every 3 months. And you know what? I still enjoy reading the Bible. I start every day with it. Now, I would say very seldom do I come in and say, oh, man, you know, I got to read the Bible, the first thing, because that's pretty much become habit. But I would say almost all the time I come in with excitement. I wonder what God's going to show me this morning. You know, and there's times, you know, I get excited reading the Bible. And you know, sometimes I'm reading it and I'm like, man, I didn't even know I was doing that, but praise the Lord. Thank God that I have the mind of Christ in order to do those things. Other times, you know what, I get convicted. And I close the book, I say, I don't want any more to do with it. No, I say, thank you, Lord. I needed that. I need to make some adjustments in my life. And so, but it is a joy. I mean, I remember one time I was working in Chicago, and it was like 3 a.m. I was working security at this thing, and, you know, what I did was I chained up all the doors so nobody could get in or get out. And so I was like, okay, good. Now I can sit here and I can read my Bible. I can spend some time with the Lord. And so I'm reading the Bible. And I came across something, and I slammed my hand down on the table. I said, amen, praise the Lord. And when I did that, I didn't know there was somebody coming up to the table. They jumped up. But I was excited. When's the last time you got excited? Are you delighted in reading the Word? It shouldn't be a chore. It's a great delight. Now, you may be orthodox in your doctrine. You may rightly divide every portion of the Word of God. You may claim to believe every bit of it. You may even be refreshed by it. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't delight in it, your prosperity is stunted. You know, some preachers, they read the Bible because they got to get a message. But they don't delight in it. And it's a crying shame. And I would say there's Christians out there that do the same thing. Not that they get a message, but you know what? They do it just out of a dreadful habit. And that's a crying shame. This is God's word. This is how he speaks and communicates to us. I don't know about you, but every now and then I like to hear my wife talk to me. And it's a delight sometimes. Until she says, we need to talk. Then I'm like, oh. Then I know it's not good. But we should delight in the Bible, don't you think? Now, notice what Jeremiah said about the word in Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. The psalmist said in Psalm 19:8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the what? Heart. Have you ever come to the Bible? I know I have. And you know, it's weird. You go to bed, you're feeling great, you know, and then you wake up in the morning, you feel lousy. Now, what happened in the middle of the night? But that happens. Anybody else say that? And you know what? You go to the Bible, and you start reading it, and all of a sudden, boom, you start getting excited, and things start turning for you, right? You know, you read like Psalm 103, and it talks about all the blessings of the Lord, and you start getting focused on that. And you know what? You're like, man, what a great day. Things just change. And the Bible can do that for you. We ought to rejoice in the Scriptures. They are to be more to be desired than they are than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the what? Honeycomb. So a prosperous man, what? They're not going to take the counsel of the godly. They're not going to stand in the way of sinners. They're not going to sit in the seat of the scornful. And they're also going to what? Delight in the law of the Lord. But then notice the next phrase. And in his law doth he meditate what? Day and night. So that means our focus is on what? The Bible. We're meditating on it. Now, we can't meditate on something that we don't already have. This is why I think it's important we start the day with what? Scripture reading. And we need to come with the right attitude, delight in it, and then when we meditate on it, you know what? That's going to help us prosper. Now you're thinking, oh, you know, am I going to get rich? Maybe not. But you're going to prosper spiritually. Others are going to benefit from it. You'll become the person God wants you to be. But we need to meditate on the Word of God. Now that word meditate, hey, it does medicate too, doesn't it? But meditate, it does. It's healthy to you. But anyways, it's talking about meditation. So meditate here is talking about like ruminating. And it's like a cow. You ever watch a cow eat? Okay. They go out in the pasture, right? They eat a bunch of grass. And then they go sit under some shade tree. And you know what? Now, do you see them eating grass when they're laying down? No. But what happens? You see them go. Yeah, but they bring it back up. I know. I lived in dairy land. Okay? I know what a cow does. We had a farm right across the street. But anyways, you see him kind of do that, and then you're like, well, I didn't see him take a clump of grass and start chewing on it. What it is, a cow has two stomachs. Anybody know that? Okay. And so what happens, they put all that stuff they're eating in that one stomach, and then they bring it up into the other stomach, and then they start chewing on it. And yeah, it's good stuff. And but then they just seem to chew on that, don't they? And that's basically what we're supposed to be doing with the Word of God. We're supposed to get in it, right? Kind of digest it and graft it into our being, and then, you know, bring it up throughout the course of the day and meditate on it. Think about it. You know, oftentimes I'm working on a sermon. I get stumped. I get sermon cramp. Writers get writer cramps. I get sermon cramp. And you know what? I'm thinking, man, how can I put this where people can understand it, where I know what I want to say, but I'm just not finding the words. And I'm thinking about that verse, meditating on it, and I go to bed at night, and in the middle of the night, bing, bing, bing. And I think, oh, that's good. And sometimes I remember and sometimes I don't, and I wish I did. I should probably just get up and write it down. But anyways, I mean, it makes total sense then. But what's happened, why that happens, is because I'm meditating on it. And, you know, you can look at a scripture, and you know what? It may be familiar to you, but you meditate on it, meditate. All of a sudden, you know what? You get a little extra there, more truth from that portion of scripture. But the fact of the matter is, we need to meditate on God's Word. And it's a wonderful thing, and it helps us prosper, especially when it comes to our spiritual being. We are to take the Bible, we are to read it. You know how many people I've come across? I already read it through one time. I know what it says. I'm like, wow. I probably read it through anywhere between 80 and 100 times, maybe even more. I don't keep count. But I'm like, and you know all about it? One time through? Oh, my. You must be really smart. Or you're selling me a bag of goodies that I don't want. But we need to read it, reread it. And you know what? We need to enjoy reading it. We are to take it back up once we start thinking about it and meditating on it. And it'll do us the most good when we do so. This is things that are necessary if we are to be a prosperous person. Now, the prosperous person who does the above five things has the following promises. Notice what it says in verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the what? Rivers of water. You know, he's like a tree. Soaks up the water all the time. And you know what? If you're planted by the waters, your roots run deep. That means you're stable. That means you won't be double-minded. That means you'll be firmly planted in the Scriptures. And ye shall not be moved. That's good, isn't it? You know, so many people are so easily moved, you can tell they aren't doing what this prosperous person is supposed to be doing. This means you're not going to be double-minded. You won't practice situation ethics. You will be living by faith. Then notice what it goes on to say. That bringeth forth his fruit in what? His season. Now, this means that you're going to bear fruit. Now, there's a lot of fruit of a Christian. Godliness is a fruit. Praise is a fruit. Now, you can tell somebody, if they're always critical, always bad-mouthing, always negative, you can tell they haven't been in the Scriptures. Or at least not applying them. You know, there's also the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. That means they're going to be out there winning souls. They're going to reach others for Christ. Then it says, goes on to say, his leaf also shall not what? Wither. Now, in other words, they're going to be happy, happy, happy. Right? They're not going to be dusty, dry cups. Their cup will run over. They'll have some joy about them. They won't be an old grouch. How many people like being around those kind of folks? I don't like being around grouchy people, but I like being around joyous people. I enjoy having a good time. You know, I think Jesus came to give us life, and life more what? Not withered. Think about it. You will be a joy to others. You know, I wonder what people think when you come into their presence. Did you ever wonder? Do people like me? Do they enjoy being around me or not? Now, if it's or not, I wonder whose problem that is. It's got to be everybody else. It can't be you. Maybe you're a joy sucker. Amen. You ever been around one of those people? Oh, yeah, it's a horrible thing. You go, man, you know, I was in a pretty good mood until you came around. Now, I don't say that, but I'm thinking that. I remember going to one person who claimed to be a Christian, and we were there for, Connie and I were there for a while, and we walked out of there, and I said, man, I'm glad I didn't bring my 45. I might be just screwing it in my ear hole and pulling the trigger after that visit. I mean, that's horrible. And I believe that person is sinning against my spirit, even though I'm supposed to control my own spirit. But it's hard when all they do is gripe and complain and whine. And it's just like, you know, I try not to stay around them too long. You know, and some people, you know, I've known, I don't even ask them, how you doing? You know, like most of you, we all do. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Because you don't want to know. Because they will tell you. And you're just like, want to say, excuse me, that was just a form of speech. I really don't want to know all about your problems. But you know what? They will not wither. You'll have a happiness and a joy about you. And then notice in the verse, bottom of the verse 3, and whatsoever he doeth shall what? Shall prosper. Now, the word blessed in verse 1 means completely happy. The word counsel in verse 1 is speaking about advice. The word delight in verse 2 is talking about pleasure. And then in meditate, it means to chew on over and over and ruminate on that truth. Ungodly means those who are not given godly biblical advice. That can happen. Even other Christian people can give you bad advice. You don't need that. And then notice where it says congregation in verse 5. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. That means gathering. And I believe God is reminding us here in Psalm 1 that we as God's people are to gather together. Birds of a feather flock together. I got little wings. All right, we'll have some more in just a little bit.